accession number 27247, reel 8.
Mr. Frank Borlet, reel 8. Now, we were talking about your company sergeant major, Stevenson, had just said that you had to make an approach to the railway station itself, which we're not quite sure how far away from it you are, but you're obviously on a railway embankment. So, what happened then?
Well, we managed to get up onto the station. We wasn't the only troops up on the station, but an officer directed Bill to fire his Bren at a certain building, which he did do. Much to our surprise, it wasn't occupied by Germans, it was occupied by British. Then we sort of consolidated
ourselves. And it caused any casualties? Or
well, we don't know. Bill doesn't know from that day to this whether he did or whether he didn't. We got together then as a unit, and we got to the, as I visualise it, to the outside of the town, which the town must have been Hamilton, where we sort of consolidated ourselves there with the rest of the company and with the rest of the battalion, and got into some form, but the casualties were so great, it was only more or less a skeleton force. Didn't have the power that we had, what we left with, nothing like, and what the advancement was going to be made on. I don't think anybody realised with that particular landing that we were going to lose so many men. I think we was 121, and at that point we was only 80 strong, or even less. And then the advance, as I can remember now, that we went into this place which was a sort of arrest, that made a sort of arrest area.
The Germans had? Or?
No, we had. The British Army had.
You went into a rest area?
Well, they called it a rest area. We were going to rest up there. Because that was a confusion, because Company Sergeant Major Stevenson had been awarded the DCM, and it was the same date as what we was in the rest area. That was a joke with Steve. He was always okay about it. You know, he could see that side of it as well as us. And then,
now, what was happening in the rest area? You were just resting, I presume.
Well, we laid up. Rested up. I don't know whether it was a couple of days or 2 days, 3 days, four. Couldn't tell you.
So what had happened? You'd moved towards the town.
Well, the whole.
And then you'd stopped, basically.
Well, I think by then, the divisional commander had taken over as to what was going to happen and who was going to go where, or what was going to happen, and led the advance against the retreating Germans. This sort of skirmishing and with the Germans and the retreating of the Germans went on for nearly 300 mile.
Now, I know, I mean, you don't like talking about the railway station at Hamilton, and I fully understand it, and we've skimmed past that in a way because in respect of that. But you don't actually remember also much about this advance, do you, through Germany?
Not a great deal.
What do you remember?
It was very, very. It was a little bit repetitious.
In what way? What would it happen?
Well, some days we'd march, some days we'd get transport, but it was always after the retreating Germans.
Were you in contact with the Germans much, or were you mainly?
Well, we were catching up with them all the time, catching up with them, then losing contact with them, then catching up with them, and went through all the various German town villages and towns, etc. We didn't do much, or we didn't do any, to my knowledge, of actual street fighting in Germany. Other units probably did, must have done, but I can't remember us doing any.
Did you see much of the German civilians at that stage?
Very few. We had one regimental incident, which I won't go into, about a German woman and our sergeant, but other than that, we didn't have much to do with the German civilians at all. They kept out of our way, I should think.
Now, so anything else you remember about this period?
No, it was just the normal sort of fleeting Germans all the time. They didn't attack us, that's a certainty. They didn't attack us, not in that sense of the word. And they fired back and fought back. But
did you have lorries? I mean, what were you being transported? Were you marching? I mean,
we was marching, and sometimes we had transport because they was retreating faster than we could march. And eventually, this just carried on until we got up to the river. I don't know the name of the river, but it's on the Baltic.
Do you know any nearby town? Lübeck or?
No.
Doesn't matter much. What happened there then?
Well, we got up there and somebody had already, prior to us, had said they had contacted the Russians. The Russians were already about 5 kilometres from us. So we went down 2 or 3 days later, had a reunion with these Russians.
And how'd you get on with them?
Well, they're pretty awful.
In what way?
A bit raggle-taggled army, and no two uniforms looked the bloody same. And then...
Is this before or after VE Day?
This must have been after.
Now, did you have any celebrations, or do you remember?
Yeah, we had a celebration. We had a Russian Red Guard company come to us, and we was inspected by Marshal Rozovsky, who was as drunk as a lord. The Russian Red Guard were very, very well turned out. I doubt whether they'd even been in action by the look of them, with their blue trousers, red stripe down the side, and everything gleaming.
So what happened to you then?
Well, we stopped there, I think. Till the August.
What, you came back to Bulford, or...?
Then we come back to Bulford. Got back to Bulford. Next thing we know, we're being kitted out again to go out to Malaysia. Got green blankets, green string vest, green cotton pants, pair of brown boots. Evidently there was a treated boot that termites didn't eat. And we was kitted out. Advance party went off. I didn't go in the advance party. The advance party went off. That was Jack Bailey, Freddie Weaver, that was our platoon I'm talking about all the time. They went off to India, and we was due to follow. Then we heard there'd been a complete change of plan. We embarked on a Canadian Pacific troop carrying ship, I think it was, forget the name of it for a moment, and we was on our way to Palestine.
So you, the Far East posting was cancelled?
Yes, because the atom bomb had been dropped.
How did you feel about that?
Didn't know much about it.
Fair enough. So you were going out to Palestine? And that would be, what month would that be? Still August?
I'm just figuring out where I was there. That must have been about September time because, yes, that's right, because we were going Christmas, that's right. We went out to Palestine, we went out and we was at Camp 22.
Where's that?
Nathania.
Is that where you stayed?
That was our Camp 22, was at Nathania, barbed wire camp.
Now what was the voyage out like?
Bit bumpy across the Bay of Biscay, but we just, terrible where we was supposed to sleep, because it was on a bloody ship's propeller, just so we didn't get a great deal of ship. Every time the ship came out of the sea and the propeller went mad and whirled around, it wasn't a very nice existence down there.
Were you cramped?
Very, very cramped indeed. Very cramped indeed. Could get going onto deck some period of time wasn't allowed. You only went onto deck in your turn. Everybody didn't go on deck at the same time. And we eventually got into Haifa. Haifa, we went to.
What were your first impressions of Palestine, of Haifa, Palestine?
Oh, marvellous. Nice and warm. Nice and warm. Everything else.
What about the people? Didn't
understand the attitude of the people at all.
In what way?
Well, the way they immediately disliked us. You could tell that. When they said to us, you know, be careful when you go shopping, what happens to you, etc., etc. Then we had a very, very big briefing.
Now, what was that about?
Well, the Army I always remember it's done by the Army Education Authorities. I don't know. They came down and done this briefing and tried to explain to us while we was there and what was happening. The object was to stop illegal immigrants from landing or getting through, and the tension in the country.
Did you have any
views?
It was
very,
on
very,
on
very.
The,
well,
the,
no, we
on
had
the Arabs, the Jewish.
No, had no. Didn't even know at that time what a Balfour Declaration was or anything else. The you know, when they said to us that we had this incident where we had to go to the plain of Sharon.
Now, what's this incident? Is this early on?
We've been there about a month or so. And
what were you actually doing before? What was your role? What were you actually doing?
We were patrolling.
And what were the patrols?
Armed
like?
Patrols. Because they said that there was this two terrorist organisations. One was the Stern Gang, and the other one was a Hebrew word, Igrav Luivi, or something such as that. And these were terrorist organisations who would be giving us trouble.
Now, what were the patrols like? How would they?
Well, there was all various types. One of the patrol we used to do in the Maghazi Desert, which we used to do by jeep.
And what would you do?
Well, the object then, as I understand it, but was very, very vague. From an ordinary rifleman's point of view, as I can only put it, it's very, very vague what was going on. We started getting things like mortar bombed in the camp. These were these terrorist organisers who wanted us out. As we know now, they wanted us out of the country because they wanted it as a Israeli state. I think the average British soldier would have said then, well, let's pack up and go home and give it to you.
And how bad were they?
Evidently, we'd made obligations to the Arabs that this wouldn't happen.
Now, how bad were the attacks on British soldiers in the camp?
Well, when you take it, I was disgusted with the Jewish people, still am over. Well, when they kidnapped four of our sergeants and hung them, and I thought, well, these were the men who'd released the concentration camps in Europe, but the very, very people they released were now hanging them.
Now, what about that incident? What do you remember of that? It was
one of the parachute battalions, and this took place at just outside Petatikvah or Telowinski, I forget which, where they was captured. They was kidnapped in a cafe. They'd gone out for a drink or something. And I think it was the 7th Para Battalion. Now, we took this all in our stride, but opposite us in another camp was the Haugaland Southern Islanders, who went on the rampage after a couple of their blokes got killed. And as everybody knows, it was that Colonel Mad Mitch, their colonel. And they went out and they beat out a couple of settlements. But we never got round to that. Never done anything like that at all.
Now, do you remember anything that happened to you in particular while you were
out
there?
Yes, one night we used to go out on these night patrols. We captured three civilians who was out, three civilian men. That was Jack, myself, Paddy. No, Paddy had gone then. Because whilst we was in Palestine, Class A releases were coming up.
I'll come back to that. Tell me about this night patrol and the men you captured.
Well, we captured these three young men. They made out they couldn't speak English. We got them back to the police station, Palestine police station. Searched them. Had no weapons on them. Didn't even have a label in their clothing. Wouldn't tell us who they were, had no papers, and then we was informed of what they'd done, these three young men. They had a cache of arms somewhere, which they'd go and get themselves all armed up to commit whatever they was going to do. And after they'd done it, they would immediately put all the arms back and go into sort of incognito again. That was the incident that happened to us. The other one was on the plane of Sharon, where we was told to shoot the ringleaders.
And what happened about that?
Well, they said about shooting the ringleaders, and then somebody said, well, bring a couple of snipers up. Don't shoot to kill, shoot to wound.
Now, what were the circumstances of this? I don't really understand what's going on.
Well, there had been a boat which had a large old boat which had beached itself. And this was full of immigrants. They'd asked, as we were surrounding them, they'd asked for permission to have ambulances come through. Which somebody along the line had given permission for. Then we found the bloody ambulances were full of armed personnel. Four of those ambulances got through, one didn't. That's how we knew the armed personnel were in the ambulances.
So what happened next?
So the order come up, when all this was, there was an agitator out the front, causing a lot of hoo-ha, hoo-ha. They said, well, they're going to shoot him. And then they decided just to wound him.
And
who shot and wounded him.
Who did? You did?
Or? I said, well, I won't say.
Oh, fair enough, yeah, sorry.
but he was shot and wounded. And a crash party went out and got him back. Wounded in the shoulder. It happened, turned out to be an English chap from Chatham Hill in Manchester. Jewish fella. He was carted off to the hospital. What happened to him after that, I don't know. You've got to remember, he was only rifleman. Whatever we got to know was the last thing of all. You was always told the last of all, which you won't quite appreciate. Well, then, as I say, the different things quietened down quite a lot, especially when they heard that in March it was going to be made an independent state.
Now, what year is this? When is it?
48, wasn't it?
So you were out there for 3 years?
No, I wasn't. I was out. No, I'm just saying things got quietened down when they heard it was going to be made. I'm not saying it was. No, I was out there. I think my army paybook says I was out there for 14 months.
So that's to November 46.
Then the unit started being depleted. Packwood got a Class B release as a bricklayer and went out of the army. Parr went off because he was Group 28. And the platoon was being depleted. And they said we were getting intake to make us up. And lo and behold, one of the intake was a chap called Whale, who was in our platoon, who deserted when we was in the transit camp at Silver Birch to go to Germany. He's an Alperton, Birmingham chap. He come walking through the door as large as life. Jack Bailey, by now he was a company sergeant major, decided we should shoot him. Jack said we should shoot him. But anyway, he got marched off to Piggy Stiles, to Colonel Stiles, told who he was, and never saw him again. Then they said, well, somebody's got to go, two people from each battalion, it's got to go to Cyprus as police, because some of the chaps will be getting leave there to ensure they behave themselves. Got to send two regimental policemen. So Jack said to me, you want a cushy old number, there's one there for you. So I went out to Cyprus, went out to Famagusta.
Acting as a regimental policeman?
As a regimental policeman.
And that's at a leave camp?
That was a leave camp.
And what was that like?
Well, that was banner from heaven. There was eight of us all together. There was another three or four regiments involved. There was a junior officer, some junior officer, and a sergeant. When we got there, much to our surprise, the sergeant and the junior officer were awaiting court-martial. And the fact they've been receiving money from the local brothel keepers to keep open. And they're both awaiting court-martial. So they put a corporal in charge, a Scotch corporal, Scottish chap. And we just used to patrol. We was at Famagusta and Nicosia. And we used to just patrol the cafes and that, seeing everything was going okay. I was there for a bloody long time. I think nearly a year.
That's not after November 46, is it? That's before it.
Yes, that's just before 46, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just you were there. Yeah.
So somebody said to me, "I haven't seen any of your chaps over here on this leave business, you know." So I said, "No, neither have I." So somebody said to me, well, your unit's gone back to the UK. So, I thought, I don't know what to do. Well, I didn't bother myself. I was quite happy where I was. I wasn't bothered. where they'd gone. I was a regular army soldier.
I was going to say, you were a regular. You weren't expected to be demobilised.
No, that's why I was sent as a regimental policeman too, because they knew I wouldn't be demobilised. So, off I go and carry on quite happily. Then somebody said to me, well, not somebody said to me, but I was directed to go to leave Cyprus, go to Toulon, and carry on as a regimental policeman there. Well, that Toulon.
Now, when was that?
I must get some of these dates a bit clearer in my head. That must have been 47, mustn't it? I was still there in 47.
And what were your duties like there?
Doing this was a transit camp dealing with what they called Python, which was when a chap had been abroad for 3 years, he was fully entitled to go home for 28 days. And also, these were the chaps who were being demobilised. The train used to leave every other day. A train used to leave this camp, and I think it used to take about 3 days to get from the south of France to the north of France. Well, I know it did because I used it. Then this regimental sergeant major, who was in charge of this very large transit camp, approached me one day and he said, when was the last time you was home? I told him, well, he said, if you like, he said, you can go and leave, have some leave. He said, we've arranged for 28 days for you. So when I came back, I used this system on the train to come back here. And I was sent to the London Leave and Hostel units in Paddington. For 28 days.
Now, why didn't you just go home?
Because the system worked that you had to take if you went home, you only got 14 days. If you took a local unit, done a little job or whatever it may, for instance, I was working on a boiler house in this place of a night, you could take 28 days. Well, Paddington and Wembley was wasn't any length of, so I decided to go to London Leave and Hostel units. So I was there for 28 days, reported to the major in charge that my time was up, and go back to my unit. His name was Captain Hannah. He was the VC from the Durham Light Infantry, who got his Batman in the wheelbarrow during a Dunkirk campaign. I found that out afterwards. He didn't transport me back to, or send me back to the Middle East. He sent me back to the depot, Oxford and Bucks depot.
Where was that at?
Cowley Barracks, Oxford. That's where I went there, and I went back there, and I went also as a regimental policeman there. There wasn't a handful of people there.
It was just any particular duties, or was it just the routine?
Just routine, keeping the camp open. There wasn't any regiment in at that particular time in the camp.
It was an empty depot.
Empty depot. Up the road was a big transit camp.
And this is 1947 still?
Yeah. This was Slade, the Slade camp.